Welcome to Rainer on Leadership. I'm Tom Rainer, and I'm joined as always by Sam Rainer. We got a treat for you. We got two guys that have an incredible ministry who are making an incredible impact in an incredible way. All right, we are delighted to welcome Matt Steen and Todd Rhodes. They are the co-founders of Chemistry Staffing. We're going to hear a lot about Chemistry Staffing today, but one of the main things that we're going to talk about is how they do what they do. You're going to love this because those of you with multiple staff, whether they're volunteers, part-time or full-time, these guys understand, and even if you're a solo pastor, they understand the local church, and you're going to be helped tremendously by that. So first of all, Matt, to you, welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
And you told me you were in Orlando, right?
I am in Orlando, Florida. I am.
And I know you got your MBA from Baylor, and you happen to have your, the audience can't see it, but I can see you've got your Baylor Bears. Are y'all playing football, or did y'all quit like some of the other teams?
Well, you know what? We've had two games postponed already this season.
Oh my goodness.
We'll see if we actually play.
All right. Well, this airs on October 13th, so we'll see if you're anything other than 0-0 after two games. Also, Todd Rhodes. Todd, I have known you, gosh, maybe three decades. Is it possible that both of us are that old?
Maybe for me, I don't know about you, but yeah, I'm definitely showing the age. But yeah, it's great to be on the podcast today, and great to have known you for so long and reconnect after all these years.
And Sam, you've connected with Todd over the years too, haven't you?
Yeah, off and on. Our paths have crossed on occasion, particularly digitally. I know, Todd, you had an early digital presence with all this social media stuff. So
yes, and Sam, I also save all of your emails. So,
oh, wonderful. Wonderful. I'm glad to know that my wisdom is being properly imparted and that you are cherishing it. I can't remember the last time I sent you an email, but I'm glad to know that.
Yes.
Well, we want to talk about really what staffing looks like, how to align, how to fit. At Church Answers, one of the most frequent questions that we get, we have this ongoing, we basically call it your church consultant and your church coach on your smartphone called Church Answers Central. And one of the most frequent questions we get is related to staffing. And some of our churches, staffing is some full-time, some of it's part-time, some of it's volunteer, but it's all the same. And so we want to be talking to y'all about that. But before we go further, I want to just hear from one of you, either one of you would be fine, a little bit about Chemistry Staffing. I really haven't introduced I've talked about you on a podcast previously, but I'd like to give a more formal and prolonged introduction through you. And then Sam will take over the first round of questions after that. But one of you, either Matt or Todd, just give us a little background on Chemistry Staffing.
Yeah, well, we launched this a little over 3 years ago. And really, it's based on this idea that this really brilliant sage in the church had kind of put out there on a blog back a few years ago about how really the sweet spot of a pastor's ministry starts between year 5 and 7. Mm. And
I know that sage.
What was his name? Was Rom Trainer or something?
Was Thom Rainier.
Oh, that's it, Rainier. So that really kind of stuck with us. And really kind of frustrated us in a good way because, you know, we know that, I guess, the average length of stay for staff roles is, what, three and a half years, and maybe a lead pastor might stick around for 4 years. But we started saying, you know what, if we can get people to that five-year mark and make that average 5 years, what kind of good does that do for the kingdom? And that kind of stability, what does that do for our local churches, and how does that affect the way that we're able to do gospel ministry? And for us, what we said is, you know, we can't not do this. We need to get in. We need to serve the church in this way. And so for us, what we started to do was figure out a way, how do we come alongside small, mid-sized churches and help them find long-term, healthy staff fits that can allow them just to do incredible stuff ministry-wise. And so we've been able to work with churches of 40 on a Sunday morning. We've been able to serve churches of 8,000. But what the common thing is, we're able to help them really find people that are just a really good fit in each of the five areas. I think we're going to dive into a little bit more.
Because your paradigm, your matrix there is so unique. I'm gonna let Sam dive in there for the first one, but I really do want to hear about each of these, and then we'll put them all together. Sam.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Like, what pain points are you seeing out there right now with staffing issues, church staffing issues?
Pain points as far as the apocalypse goes right now in the last 6 months, or in general?
Just in general, like churches hiring, or if you're a potential candidate to be hired, you know, what are the challenges right now? Perhaps a better way to say it.
Yeah. You know, in the last 6 months, people are just nervous, right? You know, ever since COVID hit, people are nervous. Candidates are nervous. They're worried about being the last in the first out. Churches are nervous because, you know, a lot of them still aren't meeting. And when we're not meeting, we don't know how the budgets are gonna turn out. And there's questions about that. There's questions. I know you guys are talking about how many people are never gonna come back. And so there's questions about that. So people are a little nervous, a little skittish, nervous about pulling the trigger on a hire right now. But then when you get into just the kind of the typical challenges of bringing somebody on, you know, people are worried, you know, how do we make sure we find somebody that's going to be the right fit? How do we make sure that this is somebody that 18 months into our relationship, they're not putting resumes out on churchstaffing.com or anything like that, you know? And if they are doing that, that's Todd's fault because he created that thing back in the dark ages of the internet, so you can send your hate mail to him. But those are some of the questions that people are really wrestling with. And I think for us, and you know, when we looked at it, put our heads together, we kind of came away with this idea that there's really five key factors that determine whether somebody's going to be a long-term fit in a church or not. What we started to say is, how can we eliminate some of the pain around each of those five areas? So maybe Todd, maybe you want to kind of talk a little bit about those.
No, let's open up with that first one, Todd. Let's go sure. to that theological alignment. And I interrupted you, and if you want to add to that, but I certainly want to get to that first one and hear from you.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that from a church standpoint, we have a lot of churches that have been plagued with bad hires in the past. And when they go to make a new hire, they're scared they're going to make the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. And that they're going to have to go through that whole hiring process again in 18 to 36 months. So again, that's where these five factors fit in. And these are the five things that we've kind of identified that really all need to be in alignment. If all five of these are in alignment, we think that pastors and staff members can make it to that 5 to 7 year mark. If any of these are not in alignment, that's when you're going to have that kind of early crossover, a lot earlier than what you want. But the first of the five factors is theology, and a lot of churches do fairly well with this. Although we do hear some horror stories, you know, of finding out some theological things about people you have on your staff, you know, 6 months or 12 months in. But most churches will start here with theology. And the question here is really just, are they a good fit for your church theologically? And of course, this includes all the essentials, the gospel, who is Jesus, what are their thoughts on the resurrection, the role of scripture. But some of the other things that we get into theologically are things like, what are their views on spiritual gifts? What are their views on, are they complementarian or egalitarian? The whole women in ministry discussion that needs to be had. Where do they fall on the Arminian Reformed scale? All of those things, and we've identified about 25 of these theology factors that we assess for in the very front end of all of our searches to make sure that we find all the red flags. You know, if a candidate says, or a church says, we believe in the virgin birth, and a candidate answers and says, I don't believe in the virgin birth, that's never going to work. That's a red flag. A lot of the green flags, where they answer the same way, those are great. Some of the big theological things are in the yellows, where they're not the primary issues, they're secondary or tertiary issues. And those are, we ask those questions early on because we want to be able to have those conversations, because it's the yellow flags that will cause that, you know, 18 months in to kind of turn sour.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I really like how you guys structure, you know, your search. Theology is kind of that foundational part, but I can tell you, I can point to people who have very similar theology to me, but are culturally very different. Absolutely. So walk us through, I get the theology. Okay, where you are on this particular spectrum, or, you know, where how do you feel about this particular issue? But perhaps a greater pinch for many churches isn't so much theology as it is culture. So tell us how you guys help with that in your search.
We'll go to Matt on this one.
Oh boy. So here's what when we look at culture, we look at culture two different ways. We look at the culture of the churches that somebody's been a part of, and we also look at the culture of the area, the geographical culture, right? The geographical culture, that tends to make a lot of sense. You know, somebody in Appalachia, probably not going to be the best fit in downtown Manhattan. It could work. God's going to do what God's going to do, right? But what we see is being more of a pain point is the type of cultures that people are coming out of church-wise. And so in many ways, you know, a church planter, somebody coming out of that type of a world, the hard charger, I'm going to take every hill, you know, whether it kills me or not, type of a mentality typically isn't going to work in your established 150-year-old, you know, robes and on Sunday morning type of a church, no matter how hard we want to make it, you know, want to make that fit, it probably is going to end up causing trouble and causing tension down the road. One of the places where we really see this is like somebody coming out of a larger church in like a worship role, you know, church of, you know, call it 2000 on a Sunday morning, going into a church of about 500 as a worship pastor. A lot of times there's a lot of struggle there because the job becomes more general as it goes down. And, you know, you have to be, you know, able to get your hands more dirty. And so understanding the culture of where they've been church-wise and the culture of the church that we're working with, that's huge. And that's one of those kind of those hidden pain points that a lot of times churches don't pick up on during the search process.
Yeah. And I love how you guys examine both the internal organizational culture as well as the external geographic culture.
Yeah.
Cause a lot of times those two things don't match up. Churches really should be in tune with the local culture. Many times they're not. And the geographic culture, a lot of times candidates will fit in the church culture, but not fit in the geographic culture, and you're called to reach the geographic culture. So the fact that you're looking at all of these pieces, I think is a very important part of search. And I think that that's kind of what sets you guys apart and part of why I like the way that you do things. But tell us about personality as well. I mean, obviously your team, you know, you're going to have a team personality. What is, when, you know, Todd, when we're talking about finding personality fit, what does that mean?
Well, it really comes right down to, is this person that you're interviewing personally compatible with both you, that's really important, and your team? Now, a lot of churches will kind of put more emphasis on personality. Maybe, you know, if they fall in love and they like a candidate, they have a tendency to kind of overlook some of the other areas because they really like the person. But we ask a lot of questions on the very front end of every search with every candidate and every church that we work with. We ask things like, what kind of a candidate are you looking for? Are you looking for somebody that always colors inside the lines? Is it okay if they break a rule here and there, or are they a rule follower? Little things like every church kind of has their own kind of list of what they're looking for, right? One of the things we hear quite often when we're interviewing churches about the last person they hired that they had to let go or didn't work out is, man, they were late for everything. So, I mean, how important are things like promptness? How important are things like follow-up? How important are things like organizational skills? What are the kind of personality quirks of a candidate that are just going to absolutely drive you crazy? Those are kind of the things you want to drill down on. Now, those couple also, you know, you've got to take a look at personality as one thing, along with theology and culture. But all of those things have to fall in line. So just a couple other things real quick. Are you looking for more of a subdued person, more of an introvert, looking for more of a life of the party kind of a person? Are you looking for a team player or a lone wolf? All these kind of personality qualities are things that churches, and you pick those up through conversations. You pick those up through a lot of just really good questions that you can ask during the interview, and just through even just watching the candidate and their family and how they relate to their family will tell you a lot about their personality.
Matt, one of the areas that you look toward is skill set. Is that resume? Is it resume plus? How are you getting that information?
Yes, and. So it's definitely resume. You know, have they done the job? Have they been trained to the point where they're ready to step into the job? Those types of things. But it's also, you know, it's more than that, because, you know, we can put anything we want on a sheet of paper. And I'm not suggesting that anybody in the church world would embellish a resume.
It's never happened. I've never heard of anybody doing that.
No, not this week. But, you know, so, but it's also kind of digging in and hearing the stories. You know, tell us how you've done that. A lot of times we'd like to just kind of look at it and, you know, tell us what you would do in this situation or something like that. We try to kind of get the stories behind how you did this. How did you implement this? How did you do that? We hear stories from other people that they've worked alongside. You know, tell us a little bit about what it's like to work with this person. You know, share how they actually go about doing ministry. Is it all head knowledge, or do they actually have the ability to execute? And I'll be honest with you guys, and you probably know this. This, more than anything, the skill set piece, churches focus on this big time, because when they get a resume in, the first thing that they're going to do is they're going to look at the resume and say, hey, do they have the skill set that they're able to do this? And a lot of times they do that almost to the exclusion of theology, culture, and personality.
True.
And they fall in love with somebody on paper, and then they kind of go into our next piece and start laughing at jokes and developing chemistry, which can get a church into trouble.
Let me begin to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Your call chemistry staffing, and the last of the five filters or characteristics that you'll check off is chemistry. So help us to understand this sets you apart in many ways on who you are, and it's in your name, and it's also one of the five factors with which we are discussing right now. So unpack chemistry, and do so in the context of the organization chemistry staffing as well.
Absolutely. Well, I'll handle this one real quick, Matt. So those first four factors, the theology, the church culture, DNA, the personality, and the skills and abilities, we feel like when a church hires us to kind of help them with their search, we can help the church really kind of zone in on all four of those and identify a good potential long-term healthy fit. The chemistry piece, though, the last piece that has to be in alignment, is really between the church and the candidate. Okay, so the church has to really decide, okay, do we really like this person? Do they like us? Does he or she fit our community? Do they like our community? Do they want to live here? Here's a big question. Do we want to do ministry with this person? And even more importantly, do we see ourselves enjoying life with this person? You know, is this person and their family somebody we want to have over to our house on a Tuesday night for a barbecue? Those kind of things. And all of us kind of innately know when there's a chemistry there and when there's not. And the best way the only way that a church can, and a candidate can identify this last chemistry piece, is through conversation and through boots on the ground. You've just got to spend some time. You've got to meet this person. They have to be in your church building. They have to be in your community and see if that chemistry exists.
And as we conclude this, tell us size churches that you serve. Tell us a little bit about staff positions. I if someone's listening to this, I want that church person to be able to say, I can call chemistry staff and I can connect them by email right now. So give us just a little bit about the type of people you serve and the type of churches you serve, either one of you.
Yeah, we've worked with churches as small as 40 on a Sunday morning. We've worked with churches as large as 8,000. So our process scales, and part of what makes us a little bit different is that we're a virtual first company. And so what that does is that allows us to make our process accessible financially for churches within that whole age, that whole size spread. You know, we're not doing, you know, we're happy to do some on-site work if a church wants us to, but primarily we created a process that works virtually so that you're not having to pay, you know, travel fees and all of that, which really starts to add up really quick. And so, we'll do lead pastor searches. We'll do staff searches as well. Really the people that we work with are churches that are looking to relocate somebody for a full-time role. And we're able to kind of come alongside and walk with them through that journey until they find the right person.
The best place to contact Chemistry Staffing is, we'll put it in the show notes.
Yep. Chemistrystaffing.com.
There you go.
Yeah. And actually I just made a recommendation. We got a church that we are coaching and consulting, and they had a staffing question. And I said, you know what? I got a place I can send you. We don't do search at Church Answers, but I know somebody who does. So glad to have you guys on the show, and thrilled about what you're doing for the kingdom, because finding fits in the church, particularly with staffing, is a huge kingdom issue.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Todd, and
thank you.
Thank you, Matt, both of you, for being here. I really want to encourage our listeners. I know that if it's a typical podcast, about two-thirds of you are pastor staff, about one-third of you are laypersons in churches. But whoever you are, you're going to have staffing needs. And we love what Chemistry Staffing is doing, and we encourage you to contact them and to just let them handle this issue, where they have so much expertise and so much knowledge about how to connect the right person at the right church at the right time in the right context. So please do that. We always want to thank Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. They're the Great Commission Seminary. What's exciting about them is they have all these different degree programs, 40 of them, but one of them is in partnership with Church Answers and Revitalized Network, 37-hour Master of Arts in Church Revitalization. Well, soon, very soon. Hey, Kevin, can you rapture up for just a moment? Kevin's in the background.
I'm glad he's rapturing up and not rapturing down.
Talk about theology questions that we need to answer amongst our team. Good gracious.
Yeah, my eschatology is weird. We've got a new ebook coming out from Southeastern. I saw some of the design for the cover. It's going to be pretty cool.
It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about it. It'll be a great new resource for churches to download and consume.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And in the meantime, we still have the Church Future Indicator. It's about to go away. Going once, going twice. It'll be gone soon. And then we'll be offering that free ebook. Thank you as well for joining us here on Rainer on Leadership. We're so delighted that Chemistry Staffing was our guest today. And we thank both of them, both Matt and Todd. But as you listen to us, please subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to us. And continue to join us online at churchanswers.com, where we're growing healthy churches together.